This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. When on Facebook, check out the Accessible Media Inc. Facebook page. Wouldn't mind if you liked it. There's lots of great content up there. If you want to reach out to Ramya, she's at AllRams on Twitter. I'm at AMI Kelly Mac. Love to hear from you. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, as we return to Kelly and Company, Ramya Muth and Kelly McDonald, hosts of the program, to have our wellness segment, and we invite in Frances Wong.
Hello, I'm Frances Wong, and I invite you to join me as we explore topics of health and wellness so that you can make the best choices for you to live an informed and radiant life.
Well, today, Frances has a really fun topic for it. Well, and again, when I say that, I just close my eyes and think, oh, wow. How relaxing, but I don't know a lot about this. So let's bring Frances in and have this conversation here. We're talking all about the fun world of float tanks and potentially getting a vacation feel during this time of lockdown. Frances, welcome back. And this sounds so intriguing. How do you want to start?
Sure. I just thought that this would be a great topic because, you know, when we're in isolation, self-isolation during COVID, it might seem counterintuitive to go and isolate ourselves further, but this is a way to have like a mini escape and a way to be able to pamper ourselves when spa services, saunas, and pools may not be open in your area. Or if you live in a household with a lot of people in a small space and you need some me time, it might be nice to get away from it all by just visiting a float center.
Yeah, no kidding. I was laughing when you said we've been isolated and now we want to isolate ourselves further. But yeah, if you're stuck living with your family for like a year and you literally have not left the house for maybe a handful of times, then you're probably thinking this is an amazing idea.
I'm tired of you guys. I'm going to the float tank.
Honestly. Yeah. So tell us what these float tanks are.
Sure. So float tanks have many names and are sometimes called sensory deprivation or immersion therapy tanks or isolation baths. And my favorite is dream pods. The idea is that the person enters an enclosed tank filled with Epsom salt water and floats on their back for the duration of the session. And then the person comes out relaxed and refreshed. But in reality, the experience, of course, is going to vary from person to person. But there is a science behind this.
So how did this become a thing?
I'm glad you asked. So the history of this invention goes back to 1954 by an American neuropsychiatrist and doctor by the name of John Lilly. He was studying the brain and consciousness and invented the first isolation tank. The point was to isolate the brain from external stimulation through something called REST, which stands for Restricted Environmental Stimulation Technique.
Well, that sounds really interesting. So how does that, because I'm assuming from the 1950s to now, things have changed a little bit. So how does the first version of the float tank compare to today's?
Let's say that it's a good thing that they don't do it the same way as the early days, because it actually sounds a bit barbaric and claustrophobic the way that they did things before. So Dr. Lilly filled a tank with ocean water and then submerged his study participants in the water in an upright position, in a diving suit, with a face mask painted black to block out all light. And then they also wore super tight-fitting and uncomfortable neoprene clothing and were hooked up to an oxygen tank, which would make hissing sounds, so it wasn't completely free of noise. And then because they were not able to see, they needed assistance going in and out of the tank. So I think today's standard by far would be considered a luxury.
Good grief. You wouldn't even know what you're going into. It'd just be like, all right, we're going to relax you. Come on. It's not relaxing. Help me. How did they feel coming out of the tank?
So actually, their answer was what prompted Dr. Lilly to research this further. Surprisingly, they were feeling calm and relaxed, even after being in what appears to be awkward and uncomfortable gear. So it seems that the absence of external stimuli allows the brain to free up resources to have more clarity. So the left side of the brain is the one we use for day-to-day logical thinking and processing, and the right side is for the creative aspects. when we are awake and alert, we are in beta brainwaves, which are quite fast. In the absence of stimuli, the brainwaves slow down and we can shift into alpha waves, which are slower and translate to a more relaxed and calm state. Or we can drop even further into a deeper relaxation called theta waves, which is where meditation and mental imagery begins. And then if you're super relaxed, you may even shift into delta waves, which is the deep dreamless sleep state. So what can happen is someone in the isolation tank may move from a very active brain to one that is much more quiet and calm because of the lack of stimulation.
Okay, I genuinely didn't think that it was going to be that deep. I thought maybe they just liked the feeling of floating around. I don't know. But okay, so the senses, this is, you know, incredibly unique, it feels like, to be able to go from especially the worlds that we live in right now to this float tank scenario. How are the senses really affected?
Well, for your sight, the tank is closed, so it's dark. And then for your hearing, you're wearing earplugs to keep the salt water out, but also to help reduce noise. For smell, there's no chlorine in the water, so there isn't really any smell. And taste-wise, you're not drinking the water. And then for touch, the air and the water are the same temperature as the skin, and the feeling of a boundary of the body fades so that you can't really tell where your body stops and the water begins. And of course, you feel like you're floating, which you really are.
Hmm. Are there any benefits to the floating part?
Yeah, so we just talked about the mental benefits with the brain and relaxation, but there are physical benefits as well to the body. The Epsom salt that is used in the tanks is actually magnesium sulfate, which has a natural healing effect on the body. Magnesium is something that humans need, and when we soak in the water for so long, we can absorb this magnesium, which is known to help with decreasing inflammation in the body. So it may help relieve some pain if you have arthritis or any muscle aches. I also noticed that my skin felt smooth like a baby after my sessions, thanks to the salt. And I have actually fallen asleep in some of my floats as well and come out super relaxed.
So you've done this a few times.
Yes, I have.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. Well, it sounds really great. I think I'd really love it too. But the first thing that jumps to mind, especially at this time, but not necessarily just because of it, is cleanliness, right? So even during non-COVID times, cleanliness is probably going to be a huge factor. But like I said, especially now.
Right. That was definitely one of my first concerns when I started looking into flotation therapy. There are several factors that need to be considered. The tanks are required to always be cleaned with the maintenance of the volume of water, hydrogen peroxide, salt concentration, and pH. So there are three ways that they keep the tanks clean. First, we start with the amount of Epsom salt in each tank. So I'm going to ask you, if you want to take a guess, how many pounds of Epsom salt there are.
I don't know. It's pretty expensive.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would be my one.
Five pounds?
Like, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, what did you say, Ramya?
5 pounds-ish.
Kelly, do you have a guess?
No, I wouldn't even want to hazard one. It would be ridiculous.
Because if it's okay, too much salt, then it's not going to melt, right? Or the
so
yeah.
No, actually, it's the salt that allows you to float. So 5 pounds would not let you float.
You'd have to have like 100, wouldn't you?
Oh, geez.
It's actually 1,000 pounds.
Oh my goodness!
1,000 pounds. Gosh.
Yes. So they put 1,000 pounds of.
I wouldn't have been ridiculous.
In 10 and a half inches of water, or about 26 centimeters. So that works out to be a salt concentration of about 35%. Otherwise, you would not be able to float at all.
Only secondly, 35%?
Yes. So even no matter your weight, you'll be able to float. So secondly, the water goes through 4 to 5 rounds of filtration through a 10-micron cartridge filter, which is small enough to catch impurities that are half the size of a human hair. And lastly, the filtration system has UV light penetration and 50 to 100 parts per million of hydrogen peroxide.
Wow. Oh, I just find like what they've learned, it's just phenomenal to do this. So let's go back to the original tanks. When you talk about the tank itself, what are they like? I mean, what if you're claustrophobic?
So it's way more comfortable now because you're lying on your back and floating and free of anything touching your skin. No restricting face mask, no tight diving suit, no oxygen tank. And you control whether you want it to be lit up softly inside or completely dark, and whether you want music or silence. It's very spa-like. I like being cocooned. And you know, like in the old days, we had those CD Walkman players where you can press a button and the top will lift up a little bit so that you can slide your CD in, and then it's like a clamshell and you can kind of close the lid. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing here. You do the same thing inside. Once you step inside, you close the lid as much as you want. But I recommend closing it completely so that the warm air inside the tank doesn't escape. And then some places even have open tubs with no lids, like an open bathtub, so that you can float in if you're claustrophobic.
Okay, yeah. So it is pretty flexible in your experience and what you want it to be. But how about for people with disabilities, anything specific there?
Yeah, so if someone is visually impaired, they can still use the isolation tanks if they have someone that can assist them to get in and out of the tank. It's probably best to check with the flotation center, but I'm sure they wouldn't have an issue with that. And then some places also have large enough tanks or cabins to allow for tandem floats. So if you have a loved one, they can help guide you into place and float with you at the same time.
Oh, man.
I'm curious on the length. This is the thing that's kind of been puzzling me about, like, how long are the sessions and what do you have to bring to be able to go into one of these?
Yeah, so you will have your regular clothes and the spa will have a shower with shampoo and body wash. And they will usually provide you with earplugs as well. And while you can wear a swimsuit if you prefer, I suggest that you don't, so that the fabric of the suit isn't creating friction against your body. The private room is yours for the duration and you can even lock it before you get into the tank. And then the floats themselves are usually a minimum of 60 minutes, but they add 15 minutes before and after the float so that you have time to change and rinse off before you get into the tank, and then to clean up and shower after the float.
So sorry, just to confirm, you're saying it's better with a swimsuit on, or it's better with like your regular clothes on?
No. You bring your clothes. Oh. You can bring the swimsuit. You wear nothing.
Oh, okay. Don't wear clothes.
Don't wear anything. Yeah.
Lady, nice here. Nice salted clothing. Like, looks what? Great.
I missed the third option. Got it. Thanks. Okay, so how widespread is this flotation therapy now? I know I've seen it in a few different references, like on TV and stuff, but I'm curious, are a lot of people doing it?
Yeah, so float tanks have become popular again starting in 2010 onwards as people have begun to rediscover the benefits of this therapy. There are many float centers throughout Canada and the US, but you can also find them all the way in the UK, Australia, South Africa, and even in Thailand. So they're mostly in larger cities since the cost of running the tanks is high. So if there isn't one close to you and you're up for an adventure, you can always add it to your bucket list or itinerary as an excursion to do while you're traveling. So it's like an escape while you're on an escape.
I would imagine you could get pretty addicted to it if you had the means, one near you or whatever, if it worked out for you, if you didn't have any fear of being in there in any capacity. It sounds like, Frances, something that you've enjoyed.
Yeah, I have. It's great. I think it takes a couple of times to go just to kind of settle in and let your body adjust, but it's been great.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. Really good topic. Really interesting to learn about it, Frances, and to kind of experience through you, but also that information. I will say, though, the 1954 version, definitely not too interested in that one. That just sounds like a total.
Sound like Zen at all.
Yeah, exactly. That sounds more like just something to scare the heck out of you. I don't know how long it would take for me to get used to that one. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next time, we're going to cover off the importance of sleep when Frances joins us. She joins us bi-weekly here on Kelly & Company, opposite our nutrition segment with Julia Karanchis. Coming up next, folks, how we work in 2030, what skills, tools, innovations, and ideas could change our lives. A new report explains the biggest trends driving our labor market. We'll get into that ahead in just a moment. You've been listening to Kelly & Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.